Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood REI and welcome our guest, strong and powerful Kent Ritter. Kent, are you ready to do this?
I am, George. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Kent is the managing director of the multifamily private equity firm Burge and Held. They're an asset management firm, and he is the host of the Ritter in Real Estate podcast. Excited to have you on. Kent, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and all of that is really kind of tied together. So, from a personal standpoint, I've I'm a husband. I've got three small kids, 5, 3, and 1. I've got a cat and a brand new puppy. So my life is pretty hectic from a personal standpoint. From a professional standpoint, I started my career as a management consultant, and had a very successful career over 12 years, kind of traveling around the country, helping large organizations solve big problems. And it was a great education, kind of a great experience in business and just solving problems. That was all we did. Nobody ever called us when things were going well. But, you know, I got to the point where growing my family, I didn't want to be on the road all the time. I wanted to find a source of, you know, more passive income. Because I wanted to be, yes, why I do this, because I wanted to be the type of father that I wanted to be. I didn't want to be an absentee. I didn't want to be traveling all the time. I had this vision of my kids growing up and saying, well, you know, my dad was gone a lot. And so, looking for other options, that's when I really started educating myself about real estate, you know, particularly multifamily real estate. Fell in love with it and just kind of rekindled my passion for just going out and being able to make something of my own and just dig into this kind of feet first, you know, or head first, I guess, really. And so I spent about 3 years investing passively with other firms, kind of riding sidecar in deals, learning, mentor programs, you know, doing all this education. And then went out and started actively buying properties and bringing in investors and putting these deals together. And it was interesting through that process. It was a lot of self-discovery, a lot of self-development, a lot of personal development that I didn't even realize, or didn't set out to really start at the beginning. And my why, which started as a very personal mission to be a great father and be around for my kids, really turned into a much broader mission of, wow, like this investment vehicle I had no idea about. And I saw myself as a pretty savvy investor, focusing, you know, I majored in finance in college with a concentration really in investing and I invested actively in the stock market and all these things, but I had not learned about real estate and particularly these syndications. And so my mission has really become to go out and educate people and kind of evangelize this and tell people that these opportunities are out there and they're not just for the ultra wealthy. And so that's really what my mission has become. That's why I do the podcast and that's why I do all the things that I do, really trying to bring as many people into these type of deals to improve their financial situation and give them access to investments that typically they wouldn't have access to.
Nice. Well, I certainly appreciate all that. I've got a 4 and 1.5-year-old, and I don't know if there's another one on the way. We don't have a cat and a puppy, but you are locked in there, man.
Yeah, we've got the whole family unit all worked out at this point, and yeah, man, it's fun. It's chaos, right? But it's fun. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So looking back, I. Everything you said resonates with me, and I imagine everybody who's listening. But making the choice to spend 3 years as a passive investor and to really learn the business, do you feel like that was maybe the perfect amount of time?
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show.
You know, things just came together. It was like, you know, serendipitously or whatever, sure. However you want to call it, where, you know, so I think I'm self-aware enough to know that in any new venture, any new thing, there's a lot that I don't know. And there's a lot that I don't know. Right. So before jumping in head first, I wanted to better understand, you know, the investment and so in consulting, we would talk a lot about the levers that you can pull to impact change. Right. And understanding the things that you can affect that will, change things positively or negatively. Right. So I didn't understand those and I needed to learn those. So, you know, I spent the period of time in education with mentors, both paid and unpaid. I wanted to go out and invest with different deal sponsors so I could get different flavors and understand, you know, what I liked and what I didn't like and take what I liked and leave what I didn't like. Always with the mind that I wanted to do it on my own. But yeah, I think 3 years was the right time because as things played out, what happened over those 3 years is, well, I Burge and Held, the firm that I'm with now, is one of the first firms that I invested with. And through those years, I developed just a great relationship with, you know, one of their founders in particular, a guy named Tag Burge, who's the Burge of Burge and Held. And he became a very close mentor of mine and helped me as I was going out and pursuing my own deals and doing my own investing. And also just with a lot of their executive team and a lot of the people at their firm, they were very open kind of to allow me in and lifting the curtain. And so over that time, just developing that relationship turned into an opportunity now where I'm working with them as a partner and actively pursuing deals and yeah, just having a lot of fun doing it.
Good, man. I appreciate that. So talked about how this is such a great opportunity, not just for the ultra wealthy. Lay out the opportunity for us. What is it about it you think is so attractive?
Well, there's a lot of aspects, but I think the things that really attracted me to multifamily real estate in particular are, one, just from a kind of an investment dynamic standpoint, you know, there's really no other investment that I'm aware of where you can have, you know, 7-8%, you know, even higher at some point, yearly returns from cash flow where you're getting checks, you know, or getting deposits right into your account and getting that cash back and creating that cash flow for yourself, which gives people a lot of freedom. You know, we have investors that are older, you know, on fixed income and it's a supplement. We have investors that are seeking to leave their W-2 job that they're not finding fulfillment in. And that cash flow allows them that freedom. It also creates, you know, secondary streams of income, which is just security, right? It's always good to have more than one source of income. So there's that aspect of it, which I think is unique. And at the same time, being able to, you know, over the past 10 years of Burge and Held's track record, I mean, we've outperformed the stock market far and above. You know, we've provided about 19-20% returns annually overall. And, you know, so just be able to, one, get the cash flow, two, the overall return profile, three, the tax benefits, because we pass the depreciation through to our investors and that depreciation offsets your gains and can offset other passive income as well, whether if you have rental properties or other things. So, you know, that was really a game changer for me that I didn't recognize going in and didn't really understand the impact of the tax savings until I really started seeing it happen in my own life. And so, I mean, those aspects are things that I think are just unique to real estate investing. I think multifamily investing, you know, it's the scale involved. So single family investing, I've done it. It's a good way to invest. The problem is it's really not scalable. And the problem is you hit a wall where you can't manage them yourself anymore because you have too many and it's too expensive to pay somebody to manage them for you relative to multifamily where you may be paying if you're in single family, you're likely paying somebody 8-10% of of your rent just to manage these properties for you. On multifamily, because of the scale, you're paying more like 3 to 5% to have professional management. And then the economies of scale just continue to go from there. And that's one thing that Bergeron Held is really able to bring to the table, are these large economies of scale, from both management efficiency and competency, but also from just a pure cost saving standpoint.
Yeah, well, those are certainly compelling reasons. The cash flow of 7 to 8%, potentially the overall alternative to stock market investing, the overall returns, and then the tax benefits. Which, I mean, at the end of the day, that's, you got to be mindful, super mindful of the money that's coming or going out the back door.
That's
more
right.
So than just the money coming in the front door. So
it's what you keep, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about what you keep.
And also, from a management perspective, having to pay somebody to manage your single family investment portfolio. So appreciate all that. So what is a typical engagement or experience, if there is such, or maybe lay out a hypothetical. Let's say that I come to you and I say, hey Kent, this sounds great. I'd like to invest with you and Bergeron Held. How does that work? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum kind of a thing? What's the time horizon?
Yeah, all really good questions. So there is kind of a standard approach with a little bit of variation, but really the minimum is $50,000. And from a time horizon standpoint, it's about 3 to 5 years. Over our history, going back to 2008, the average deal is right around 4 years, the average hold period. So that, you know, we're purchasing the property, we're improving the property, because that's what we're doing. It's value add real estate. So we're purchasing properties that they're positively cash flowing. So they are cash flowing businesses that we're buying. We're not buying things that, you know, that are in the red and kind of behind the eight ball. We're buying things that are already cash flowing from day one. We're just helping them really through our systems and through improvements and through capital, you know, improve the income. And in doing that, that process typically takes about 1 to 2 years. And then we're running the property, we're managing it, you know, very well. We're staying up with the market. And then in about, you know, 3 to 5 years in total, we're looking to sell that property and realize those gains that we've accumulated.
Nice. Okay. So I invest, let's just use a round number and say $100,000. Mm-hmm. So over the course of that, and let's just use 4 years, each year I'm receiving a payment of 7 to 8%.
That's right. And those payments come out quarterly. So that 7 to 8% is split quarterly. And you may receive more. Oftentimes in the later years of the deal, especially, you're receiving more than that. But the 7 to 8% is what we call our preferred return. And what that means is that's the return that goes to the investors before myself and my team as the deal sponsors start getting paid. And that return, it's like cumulative, meaning that from 1 year to the next, like, if, for example, in 1 year we were only able to give you 6%, the preferred return was 7%. So the next year that 1% carries over, and in year two we owe you 8%. So, you know, it's not that it's guaranteed, but it's highly likely, and we have to get you there before we start actually getting paid in the deal.
Got it. Appreciate that. So then, okay. So along the way, I'm making that receiving that passive income, and then when the deal gets sold, what happens then?
Yeah, so when the deal gets sold, we we distribute the appreciation from the sale back out to the investors, and that typically is about, if you look at your total return, you're typically getting about 40% from the annual cash flow and about 60% from the appreciation at sale. And so when we look at it, you know, in aggregate, you know, our goal is to provide a minimum of a 15% internal rate of return. So kind of an overall return over a 5-year period. And if we can't hit that in a deal, we won't do a deal. So that's kind of our baseline. So we're looking at the minimum 15%, and then, you know, obviously hoping to under promise and over deliver, which we often do. If you look at our history, our history is more, our history really is about a 20% internal rate of return over that 4-year average.
Got it. Okay. So I'm just going to, if you don't mind, just stick with my example of I put in $100,000 along the way. Let's assume that I'm getting $7,000 a year at that 7%. I know that it's not guaranteed, but that's kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. So over a 4-year period, I've gotten $28,000 out of the deal. And then when it goes to sell, assuming a 15% overall, how much would I have returned back to me?
So an easy way to think about it in aggregate is what we call an equity multiple. So it's the multiple on the equity you put in, right? So if you put in 100,000 in a, let's call it a 5-year hold, you're likely going to be at about 1.8 to about 2x from what you originally invested. So if you invested 100,000 in 5 years, my goal is to hand you back 200,000 through all those different ways, you know, through the cash flow and then through the appreciation.
Got it. Okay, great. So let's just assume that the number is 200,000. If I already got $28,000 out of the deal, then I would get an additional 72,000 plus the original 100.
That's right.
Got it. Nice. All right. Very cool. And what is the qualifying way that I can become an investor, or can anybody?
Yeah, so there's two different types of deals that we will do. Some of the deals are only open to accredited investors, and then other deals are open to everyone. So the way that the SEC outlines it is, if we're doing deals that are open to everyone, then we can bring 35 non-accredited investors, sophisticated investors, meaning they understand the investment enough to be able to make a competent decision about it, but we can bring them into the deal. And I like doing those type of deals because, going back to what I said before about really, you know, one of my goals is to open up this type of investment to everyone, right? And so I love bringing people in where it's, you know, something that maybe it's their first syndication. You know, a lot of our investors, maybe they have a rental or two, but they haven't invested in a syndication before. And so being able to bring them in and kind of educate them to the benefits and how it works, I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of the job.
Nice. I love it. Well, Kent, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So my difference-making tip is something that I've had to work on quite a bit in the past year. As over the past year, I've had probably more firsts in my life than in any other time period, but both kind of personally and in business. And so my tip is just get started and improve through iteration. Meaning you're never going to be perfect the first time out. When I started my podcast, I mean, if I had waited for it to be perfect, I'd still be waiting. I'd still be tinkering,
for
right?
For sure.
So my tip is just get started. Just do it and improve as you go, because that's the only way that you're really going to learn is by doing it.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets, come on. I think that's awesome advice right there. You know, to get started, you just got to get started. So, Kent, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can they invest with you?
Yeah, thanks, George. So there's really two ways I think they're best to get in touch with me. One is at my website, which is kentritter.com. You know, very, very easy, just my name. The other is, if you want to learn more about investing, my podcast, Ritter on Real Estate, really is focused on helping people make better investing decisions. The tagline is passively investing like a pro, because I'm investing the pros and taking the tips from them to help educate folks and help them be better investors.
Perfect.
But if you go to the website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We do a weekly newsletter. And you can also fill out an application to be an investor.
Great. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Kent your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to kentritter.com. That's kentritter.com. Check out the Ritter on Real Estate podcast. and get started. Thanks again, Kent.
Thanks, George. Appreciate you having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.